We're live before we said we'd be live. I mean, it's still 27 minutes later than what we posted on social media. So, did it say 6:30? Then we're good.
Oh, dope. Okay. I guess you didn't read the meme all the way then. I can't get over the one of me doing pottery.
Let's talk about movies. This is Kenny from my brain. If you want to talk movies, well, guess what?
Hey everybody, welcome to You Have to Watch This Podcast. I'm Alan.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Devin.
And today we're going to gather around the pottery wheel and talk about Ryan's pick, the 1990 film Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg, and Demi Moore. But before we do that, we like to catch up on things that happened in the last week. On the last You Have to Watch This Podcast, it was my birthday. Since then, Devin has had a birthday. Devin, how was your birthday?
It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. I was in Edinburgh for the weekend, and Romana had just a bunch of little surprises for me, which was really nice. One of which was an escape room. Romana and I did an escape room. The game master found out it was my birthday and wrote me a birthday card while I was in the escape room. It was incredible.
What did it say?
It said just generically happy birthday, and then it said something like, your bravery will go down in history, which like sounds weird without context, but like if you escape the room, that's the last thing that like the automated voiceover tells you. And I guess she figured we would escape the room, so it just like matched what was happening. It was really cool.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it.
Nice.
Cool.
Awesome. Well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I feel so much older and wiser, as does everyone after turning in age.
Yeah.
Oh, guys, for real though, do you guys know that song Superman by Goldfinger? This is going to be really stupid. I only know it because of Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
Yeah.
It's a ska song.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with ska. Stop.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love ska.
Wait, can you sing it for me? Like, I think I know the song.
No, I can't. I'll have to send you a link later. Everybody look it up on Spotify.
I think I know what song you're talking about.
Yeah, it's like the song from Tony Hawk Pro Skater. I love it, but like lately the lyrics are like really hitting me because it talks about getting old but still feeling young, and I'm like, it's me. It's great. I had a talk with one of my clients that was really great. And then we started talking about work, and it eventually veered into our eventual deaths, and that's what the conversation ended on.
That's always the best.
Guys, it's been a roller coaster.
Like, hey, let's meet up for coffee and just catch up, and like, we're all gonna die someday.
That's where we went.
Yeah. So speaking of like that kind of conversation, did you guys see the Elmo thing that happened on? X.
I was gonna ask you guys.
Elmo checked in on everyone. Like Elmo posted on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Like, how's everyone doing? And everyone's just like, not great, Elmo. Not great. To the point where the latest happened this morning. Elmo was on the Today Show, and they ended the segment, cut to Al Roker to do weather, and then Larry David came out and just beat up Elmo.
What? Why?
Because it's Larry David.
Fair.
But then they had a segment where Larry David apologized to Elmo. Like, they made him apologize on air. The best part is, like, he beats up Elmo and walks off. And I saw somebody put the Curb Your Enthusiasm music to it, which was fantastic. So
I always love that.
Yeah. I've never seen Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Do you like Seinfeld?
Meh.
Then you're going to be meh about Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, man. Okay. I wanted to like it way more than I did because it's one of those like comedy like touchstones in like our society. Like people talk about it all the time. And I forgot that it's just Seinfeld. Like episode one is all about like, I think he like sits down and there's like a pleat in his jeans or in his like pants that he's wearing. And the pleat is weird. And he talks about deplete all episode. And I'm like, oh, right. This is what Seinfeld was doing.
Yeah.
And eh.
Okay. Well, speaking of things that we watched, we like to start off each segment, each episode of the show with our, we watch this segment. Devin, what'd you watch while on holiday in Edinburgh?
Edinburgh. nothing. I went on a Harry Potter tour and I read the entirety of a book called The Wager, which, like, if you guys want to do that, read that book. It's incredible.
Harry Potter tour?
Yeah, Harry Potter tour. What? Oh, it was incredible.
I think you buried the lead with the trip to Edinburgh and the escape room gift card. Like, what was the tour? What did you get to see?
So, actually, kind of a lot. It was really cool. So, it took place in this place. It mostly centered around this place called Greyfriars Bobby, which is a church and a graveyard where J.K. Rowling, when she was writing Harry Potter, lived near. Okay. And she actually pulled some of the names from Harry Potter characters from tombstones that she saw there. So we saw Tom Riddle's grave, which is the most photographed grave in the world. We saw McGonagall's grave, which was also very fun. We got to see the school that she based Hogwarts on, which was just outside of the cemetery.
Okay.
Which was also very cool. And the thing that I love the most about it is that it's a free tour. You just sign up for it. You don't have to pay anything. And then at the end, they just ask for donations because it's literally just like a group of like ex-improv comedians trying their best. They're incredible.
You know, I worry about ex-improv comedians a lot, and I'm happy to know that a group of them found each other in Edinburgh.
Part of me, like the whole tour was like, I want to be one of you. Like, I know what you're doing, and I love it. I too can do a Snape accent in a graveyard standing over top of a corpse. Please let me do this.
Yeah, they do the tour and then afterwards like, come see a hula really. Like
there are I'm fine with a Scottish accent until it gets to be Glaswegian. Once you get to a Glaswegian accent, I'm like, I have to concentrate on you. It's incredible.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Ryan, how about you? Did you watch anything?
I'm
no
doing a rewatch of DS9. I'm playing video games. It's just me watching sports. I'm doing me.
I will carry the segment. I watched something this week. There's a new show on Hulu called Death and Other Details. Have you guys heard anything about this show?
Nope.
Never.
Okay. It's part Murder on the Orient Express, like Agatha Christie type stuff, part White Lotus.
Oh,
interesting.
So it's like the premise is a bunch of rich people rent out this luxury yacht, like a smaller cruise ship, for this billionaire's retirement. And then somebody is murdered on the boat. So somebody on the boat is the murderer. The world's best detective is on this boat as well, on this ship, played by Mandy Patinkin.
Okay.
And this show is worth it just for Mandy Patinkin alone. Because it's on Hulu. Like, Hulu, you can tell Hulu's like, hey, we found the true crime audience with Only Murders. Let's keep it going. And it's kind of in the vein of Only Murders in the Building as well. But it's like, we're 4 episodes in and I have no clue who did it. Like, it's very well done. It's very interesting.
All right, you got me with this one. I might have to watch this.
Yeah.
I never knew this existed. I hope the boat's the murderer.
It's Bodie McBoaterson.
It is. This is the sequel. This is what happened after he didn't get that name.
Yeah. It's on Hulu. It just started last week, so I'm all caught up on it. It's worth checking out. It's only a few episodes in, so.
It's weekly releases then?
Yeah, they release the first 3 at once, and then it's weekly. Okay. So.
I got to see what that's on here, because we don't have Hulu.
It would probably be Disney Plus for you then, or Star, or whatever it is.
Sweet, okay.
So.
In I don't mean to pivot us. Have you guys been watching that new Band of Brothers show at all?
No. Or
do you have any
the like, one on in that? Apple TV, the like the Air Force one?
Yeah.
I've been meaning to watch it, but I always forget because when I get home, I just want to relax. Yeah.
Masters of the Air. Yeah. I keep hearing incredible things about this, and I loved Band of Brothers, and I even liked The Pacific, and I know not a lot of people did. Like, I can't wait to watch this show.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of it, so. I've heard of it, but I haven't heard anything about it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks amazing. It looks really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta catch me up. I gotta watch stuff, guys. I gotta watch TV.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do on your trips to Edinburgh?
So typically it's a work trip. So all I'll do is I'll literally go from meeting room to meeting room to meeting room to meeting room.
Well, I meant like when you're traveling, like how do you entertain yourself then?
Oh, I read.
Okay.
Always and forever. I have a book or I have my e-reader and I read. I'm a boring, boring person.
Okay. I can't read on like while I'm moving. Like I just can't. I try.
You know, I
get motion sickness.
I have that in cars and only in cars, and it makes no sense. But like trains, planes, automobiles, I'm fine. I wanted to do automobiles, but it was the one thing I mentioned I can't do.
I watched that train, planes, and automobiles a few weeks ago because it just came on one of the channels. I love that movie. Like that might be, I was thinking about it. That might be one of the best movies Ryan made me watch on this show. Like one of my favorites.
I love both of you guys. There are sometimes I'm very angry at the two of you, and this is one of them because I've never seen that movie.
Oh, well, we'll have to revisit it.
Okay, because I know I'm going to love the movie.
Yeah.
But there's like a few that I'm just holding back. Like that one in Airplane are movies that I'm like, I'm not going to watch this because I want to talk about watching this.
You know, it's funny you brought up Airplane because I have to talk about Airplane later today. Because it ties into today's main topic, which is the 1990 film Ghost, starring Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, and Whoopi Goldberg, directed by the director of Airplane.
What?
Yeah.
And not just the director of Airplane, the writer of the Naked Gun movies.
What?
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But yeah. Ryan, this was your pick for the week. If you're new to You Have to Watch This Podcast, each week one of us picks a movie that at least one of us has never seen before. This week it was Ryan's turn. So Ryan picked Ghost, which Devin had never seen. So Ryan, I'm going to give it to you to take it away.
Okay. Well, normally I'd get into like when it was made, who was in it, but Alan already did it. So we're just going to go from here. So this movie I picked simply because Devin, you're not good with romance movies. Not that you're not good with them. It's just you don't really know a lot about it. You tend to make a lot of really bad assumptions.
Oh, boy.
On them, right?
Oh, we have some coming today.
Okay. So yeah. This is a movie that I have not seen since high school. I've only seen this movie two times prior to me suggesting to watch this. And all I remembered from it is like maybe a handful of scenes and that I remember thinking that it was a decent movie when I was a teenager. And I haven't seen it since. So that's my history with it. And I saw this at home with my parents for the when I saw it for the first time. So that was the first time I saw it. And I'll get into more about like my epiphany that I had with this later on. But so like you guys, like, How many times have you seen it? Have you ever heard of it? I mean, obviously you've heard of it before, but like, what's your history with it?
I've seen this before. This was one of the VHS tapes that we had growing up that my mom would watch occasionally. Like this was in her rotation. So I've seen this movie. This movie gave me nightmares as a child, probably. Because there's some things in this that are scary for a kid. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember there being moments where she's like, don't look at the screen. Like, I just remember that. And it's like when people die, it's like, oh, yeah, no, don't look at those ghost demons like pulling the president from Scandal to hell. so I'd seen this before. And of course, I know like its impact in pop culture, because Community does a great joke in their pottery class episode where the teacher's like, no ghosting in my class. So, but yeah, so I'd seen this before. I've been aware of it. I haven't seen it in like 20 years. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have Devin. Had such a weird history with this movie.
So, okay.
First off, I know that you know that I didn't understand this movie going into it.
Yeah.
You know me. You know me well enough.
Yeah.
You know that I had no idea what this movie was.
So real quick, just to catch everyone up at home, after Ryan made the pick for this in our post-show discussion, Devin was very confused about why we were watching Ghost. And I said, Devin, I'm going to say two words that are going to sell you on the idea of this movie without even giving away a single bit of the plot. And those two words were Whoopi Goldberg. You had no clue Whoopi Goldberg was in this.
Didn't she win an award for this too?
She won the Oscar for best supporting actress.
I mean, it's insane that I didn't know that. Having watched it, I get it. But so I guess I'll have to give you my Devin take on this movie, because I have to give Devin takes on movies like this. I had a RoboCop second with this movie where basically I knew the plot of this movie. I knew that Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze are horribly madly in love. They're probably married. They probably have kids. One day, Patrick Swayze leaves in his car and gets into a car accident, probably on a business trip, and dies. And his undying love for his wife, Demi Moore, brings him back home where he finds her doing pottery. He then comforts her as a ghost doing said pottery. And the whole movie is kind of a, is he there? Is it her way of comforting herself into her new life without her husband? And in the end, she finds a new man. And the end. I wasn't ready for this movie, guys.
Like, good.
Doesn't sound like it.
No. Like, I would have told you that was the plot like a day ago, because I just watched it today. Like, I wasn't aware of most of what this movie was. Holy cow. And to give you an even further like discussion about this movie was constantly referenced by one of my previous relationships, but she never told me she was referencing Ghost even once. But lines from this movie and songs from this movie, I went, oh, one of my exes said that all the time. And then a couple lines later, she said that too. And that one, 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 and that one.
I really hope that this person is your ex, because they would just sit in the room at night singing, I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
Which she would, though. That's part of it. That scene happened to me in real life, and I didn't get it. That's the bad part of all this. Now, what? 20 years later, I went, oh, that's what she was doing.
Oh, man.
Dude, guys.
Do I know this person?
Of course you do.
Okay.
It's exactly the ex you're thinking of.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the whole relationship, not once did she say, Devin, I'm referencing Ghost. I think she just wanted me to get it, and I didn't until I was 34 years old.
Talk about an Unchained Melody.
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, I had a lot of emotions watching this, guys. Someone said the word ditto to me at some point, and I almost teared up. So, just to let you know where I sit with this movie.
Okay. So, one thing that happened to me when I was watching this is that I thought that I had remembered the beats of this movie pretty well. It turned out I had completely forgotten 80% of this movie. Not like the key things, not like who Whoopi is, you know, her, you know, like her backstory, but like the little things, like how she struggles to give the check away. Mm-hmm. And like, I kind of forgot the whole plot of like who was the actual villain and everything. But it only took me like 10 minutes into the movie to figure it out. But still, like, I had forgotten that.
See, for me, I remembered like who the actual villain was the whole time. But I did forgot that this is like kind of a precursor to Sister Act, where Whoopi Goldberg doesn't want to give him the check, and then like a year later she's in a habit.
I held my finger up because the second we started talking about Ghost, I started a timer to see how long it would take us to mention Sister Act. Guys, we're at 6 minutes and 17 seconds. I'm proud of us.
Yes.
That's good. So I have to say that my favorite part of this movie is towards the beginning of Patrick Swayze's character and Whoopi Goldberg's character when they first start interacting. Because the idea of having her being like thinking that she's like a faker, you know, she's, you know, basically committing fraud. And then all of a sudden it's like she's actually doing what she's pretending that she's, you know, doing. And that to me is the core part of the humor for the movie. And that's what gets me through this, in all honesty. But that whole interaction for like the first part of their relationship in this movie is hysterical to me. And in fact, that was something that wasn't initially thought of for the film. They wanted her to be a true psychic at the beginning, not like a faker. And I feel like the humor works better this way.
I certainly think it does.
How would you guys describe this film in genre? Like, what genre would you pin this as? Because it's not just one.
I watched this on Prime Video today, and it called it a romantic drama, which I like almost completely ignores all of Whoopi's character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, she's got some dramatic moments, but she's kind of the comic relief, like you think she is. I would almost say, and it leans into its comedy more, I would almost call it like, I'm going to call it a rom-com, but you know I don't know what a rom-com is still. I'm going to call it a rom-com.
I don't think it's a rom-com. It's definitely a thriller.
Yeah.
A romantic thriller.
Romantic thriller comedy.
Yeah.
Is there a way to mash all of those together?
Yeah.
Please don't. It's
called Ghost.
Okay. I'm good with that.
But yeah, like it's very all over the place, but it works. Like it's very, yeah. So IMDb has it listed as feel good romance, debatable, drama, fantasy, romance, and thriller. Like the fantasy I'll give you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this, oh, I'm going to ask a bad question. Is this a precursor to Twilight, guys?
No. No. No.
Fantasy romance?
No.
You don't think so? You don't think
no.
Like what if
no.
What if vampires?
Like there's other fantasy romance besides Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I don't know. Oh. I'm blanking on it right now.
No. The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I was gonna say Princess Bride, but
yeah, that's it. I mean, Shape of Water. You know what? I typed in fantasy romance and Ghost came up.
Yeah. City of Angels, What Dreams May Come, Princess Bride.
What Dreams May Come is, I would not say, as a romance.
That's in the list.
It has romantic overtones.
Yeah,
Edward Scissorhands.
That's a heavy movie. Not Edward Scissorhands.
Death Becomes Her.
Oh, What Dreams May Come is heavy.
It is very heavy. But
Death
evidently,
sure is a good one.
I just learned this. That is Zelda Williams' favorite movie of her father's.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Aw.
So
that's good to know.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about Whoopi?
Yeah.
Of course. Okay.
good talk. So, like, we talked a lot about like how there's so much different things going on in this movie. Did Whoopi take you out of it at all, Devin? Like the comedy aspects with her, or was it grounded enough that it still worked for you?
Yeah, she didn't take me out of it for a second. I mean, she did such a good job of changing tone when she needed to. Mm-hmm. Like, she was dramatic in the dramatic parts. She was tender in the, you know, in the romantic parts. She did a good job of being the most New York New Yorker when she was shouting up at somebody from the street. Like, she did such a good job of really tying a lot of it all together. And I feel like I feel like without her, you don't have that same nice shift in genres.
Yeah.
Because I think she's the one, she's the glue that holds those disparate parts together. Because, I mean, Patrick Swayze, aside from, like, a couple of little jokes, I think his big one is, like, that riff with that guy in the elevator. He's not the comedic guy. Like, Demi Moore certainly isn't the comedic, stronghold of the movie. It's her, and she does such a good job. Like, I have a lot more respect for her as an actor after watching this. Like, I totally get the hype.
Well, Patrick Swayze got her the role, because when they made this movie, she wasn't even in the mind of the writer for the role. He was the one that was like, hey, this would be perfect for her. We need to get her in here.
I gotta tell you guys, watching this movie, I think I'm a huge Patrick Swayze fan.
Okay, so which Patrick Swayze movies have you seen now because of us?
Because of you. I mean, I've seen Red Dawn. Like, okay, you've seen Red Dawn.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing,
I've seen. I've seen this. In my personal life, I've seen Donnie Darko, which I guess he's in. I've seen Fox and the Hound 2, which I guess he's in.
To admit to seeing Fox and the Hound 2.
Man, if it's Disney, I'll just admit that I watch it. We
will have to watch another Patrick Swayze movie coming up here soon with the remake of Roadhouse coming out.
I did see Roadhouse.
I've never seen Roadhouse.
Good, 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 good. We are watching Roadhouse.
Yeah, we are watching Roadhouse and streaming Fortnite as Peter Griffin. Roadhouse.
Yes. Maybe this is weird, but I might have, like, a man crush on Patrick Swayze. He is so effortlessly charming. Like, in most, there was, like, one thing he did in this movie that, like, gave me the ick. And that's when he was walking through his office and was like, hey, Rick. Hey, George. Looking good, Susan. I'm like, stop it. Stop that.
Okay, so this movie set in 1990.
Yeah.
So,
And
if that's the worst cringy thing that he did, then he's fine. He's, you know, whatever.
You know, though, it's what's weird, like, thinking about this movie in New York in 1990, like, somewhere else in the city, like, rent is happening right now.
It certainly is. Oh, no.
So, do we want to talk about the pottery wheel scene?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have to. Devin, is one of the most iconic scenes in movie history.
Oh, it absolutely is. Devin, where do you know this scene from? Like, what references to it do you know?
Family Guy. Oh, my gosh. Everything. Like, everything references the pottery scene. I've seen the Community, like, bit of that. I'm sure it's in other things I've seen too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I honestly thought he was a ghost for that scene. I really did. I was so shocked to find out that he was an alive person for that.
It's very weird watching that in context of the whole film as an adult.
How so?
Because it's like, it gets made fun of a lot, like on Family Guy and on Community. But you kind of get it, like, when you watch it, this, like, like, as a mature adult, it's like, okay, yeah, this is very, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sensual?
I was trying to,
heavy?
Yeah.
Sexy?
Yes. It's all euphemism. All of that scene is, like, all euphemism. Like, they're getting dirty and they're up to their elbows.
Patrick Swayze has also said.
Yeah, go ahead.
Patrick Swayze has also said that was the sexiest scene that he has ever shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely, it was. 100%.
Yeah, and very phallic.
That was my thing too. Especially, like, there was a couple of camera shots of the thing where, like, you know what they're doing. Like, you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
And, like, they don't want to show it because it's the 90s, but, like, it's the same thing that every time I try pottery it turns into anyway.
Yeah, well, one thing that I noticed this time was that, like, I she's an artist. Like, that's what her job is. Like, Demi Moore's character is, like, that's what she does. And it, for the first, because like, this is, like, the third time I've ever seen it since watching it back in high school, I did not realize or remember, maybe this was something I noticed when I was a teen, I have no idea, but what she's doing before he walks up is she's putting like a spiral line dent inside the vase that she's making.
Yeah.
And if you look at the shelving behind them where the rest of her like already made pots are, they all have that same spiral line that goes up the side.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay, that's like, that's detail that you don't need that they did anyway to just fill out the character. Like, she's an artist. Her signature is making this, like, one spiraling line up the side of the pot or vase, whatever she's making. I just thought that was an... I just thought that that was interesting. That, like,
it is.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's like, that's her sign as an artist, and that's what they show her doing in that scene
before he walks up. Very different things in that scene, I think.
No, it's just, I've seen it a lot, just like you guys have, when it comes to, like, popular culture. And, like, yeah. It looks like what it looks like. Ha ha, hee hee, giggle, giggle. I'm 14 again. Ha ha ha. And then it's okay. What are the, what else are they doing in this scene?
Got it.
It was weird. So going back to her art for a second, like one of the things I remembered that I didn't like, one of the repressed things about this movie that I remembered watching it was, some of her statues, like the one that looks like a blue whale on its side. Like I was like, I forgot about that. That's haunted my dreams. And I don't know why, like it's just been in like the recesses of my mind. And then it came back to me watching this. Yeah.
That's really interesting. I like that. Those are one of the things that stuck out to you about the movie, like that random, like insert of art.
Yeah. I kind of want that apartment, though. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. They're
good luck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in 1990 prices, I'm sure it was a steal.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. They bought it for a pack of raspberries.
Yeah.
Is that what they said?
Devin, stop. No, it's a joke.
Okay, good. I was like, did I miss more lines because I'm sure it lists Patrick Swayze?
Stop. Well, okay. So that.
Man, you,
here are the things
you
that
really
I
are crushing on Patrick Swayze.
I'm crushing on him, man. I don't know what's going on.
I've got
on
some bad news for you.
Don't tell me he's dead.
You didn't know?
No, I did. Okay.
Oh, my God. Okay, so here are the things that I remember from this movie prior to rewatching it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that the movie opens up on Patrick Swayze being shirtless, his friend being shirtless, and Demi Moore with like sledgehammers.
Yeah.
Just ripping the apartment apart to like, you know, make it bigger. I remembered that. I remembered the pottery scene. I remembered the death scene. I remembered him dealing with him learning how to kick a can in the subway.
Oh, yeah.
Because I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
And the ghosts taking people away. But my favorite moment with him being a, like my favorite moment overall in the movie is when he meets, Goldberg for the first time and they go back and forth. My other favorite part of him being a ghost is dealing with the mentally ill guy that's yelling at him to get off his train and that whole thing. And again, watching it this time as an adult, like I had one of those like, you know, like shock, depressive, sad moments when Patrick Swayze unintentionally made him snap when he was, you know, being asked about how he passed, and he ran to the tracks and jumped in front. And it's like, that's what happened. That's how I took that scene. That, like, they were showing what actually happened, how he became a ghost. No one pushed him. He just snapped and ran in front of the train.
That's an interesting way to read that.
But, you know, that, yeah, I mean, that's how I saw that. But then this also gets into the weird physics of this movie of, like, okay, so they need to, the ghosts need to really focus, like, all of their emotions pretty much into trying to move something. And, like, they can go through walls and doors without a problem. But there's no effort needed to stand on the ground. Because, like, when Patrick Swayze walked onto the train, he didn't fall down to the tracks. Like, he stayed on the platform. And it's like, that's my only, if I had to nitpick this movie, this is really the only thing that I would ever, ever do that to.
That is the most Devin thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Yes. Okay. So in the middle of watching this movie, I went, why is her feet, why is his feet not falling through the floor? How can he not move the tent of his feet? And then I went, I'm going to bring that up on the podcast, and they're going to tell me to shut up. So I'm just not going to bring it up on the podcast. And I'm so happy you brought it up.
Well, I mean, like I said, if I had to nitpick this movie, that's the only thing that I can think of.
Yeah.
So the way arguing the counterpoint to that is, if they have to focus on moving other things, like if you're up, getting up and walking, like you're not really having, like, it's just something that you focus on, like, subconsciously. Like, it's not something you try to do. Like, it would make sense to me that they can just get up and walk, because it's just like subconscious thing. You can stand up and walk.
They would expect the floor to be there.
So they're putting their energy into it, but it's like at a subconscious level that it's not the same as them being able to walk, like touch things and push things. Hmm.
That's fine.
Let me tell you, one of the things that scarred me as a kid from this movie was the ghost on the train. Like, he just starts yelling. And Vincent Scalavelli does such a great job. He's such an iconic, like, character actor. I remember there was a documentary series on YouTube called No Small Parts, and there was a whole episode on him before they got bought out by IMDb. And it was he lived a fascinating life. Like, I think he retired from acting and was like mayor of a town in Italy. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But, like,
it's incredible. Why not? Yeah.
But he's so terrifying in this when you're like four and he just starts yelling, and like, mm-hmm. it's those eyes, like, it's just in the hair. Like, it's so weird.
Get off my train.
Yeah. The thing that I like about this movie, though, is, like, it doesn't, like, attempt to make ghosts sexy. Like, it attempts to, like, explain ghosts from, like, their mm-hmm. perspective. And there are scary ones, like, on the train. And then there are sexy ones, like Patrick Swayze. Like, they run the gamut just like people run the gamut. Like,
And then And then there's nice, friendly ones, like the old guy he met in the ER.
Yeah.
And that's one, like, I forget the lines. I really wish I would have written the lines down. But I love that conversation that Patrick Swayze has, because he's in shock, realizing what just happened. And then this old guy who can see him sits down next to him. Again, the whole thing. Why aren't they falling through the chairs? Anyway, we're not going to have that conversation. Alan's face.
I don't go full Jim Halpert often on the show, but that called for it.
Like, that conversation about how, like, he's like, yeah, I'm waiting on my wife. She should be here soon, because, and he says what, you know, like, issues she's having. And then he, like, he sticks his head into the cloth where Patrick Swayze's body is, and he goes, oh, got shot. Every time. Yep. Just like total matter of fact, just like, this is life. And then I love how they world build when it comes to, like, showing how things work, because they show you 90% of the like what's possible in this world in that ER. They show you and explain to you about going through walls, going through doors. They explain, what happens passing on. You have the ones who stay behind, you have the ones that get, taken up. And then he says, it's like, it's really scary when the other ones come for you. And then you realize what, and I love that the ones that come to drag you down come out of the shadows. Like, it's the shadows come to life and drag you down. And when I was doing the research for this, because and they howl, it's this really weird noise. And I decided to look it up, and they basically recorded babies crying and slowed the audio down. And that's where the sound comes from.
That's very cool.
It's kind of sick, too, if you think about it. Like, did they have to pinch like the baby's toe to get it to start crying, or did they just wait?
And they're just like, you'll cry at some point. That's what I like to think. They're like, you're bound to disrupt us at some point. We'll record it.
Pinch under the arm. Pinch.
They just waited on any flight I've ever been on. Too many.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a weird Devin thing about the movie. This is a part that's going to stick out in my mind as like a cringy thing, but not unintentionally, or not like the looking good Susie thing, but it's when the guy is hitting on Demi Moore, the bad guy, when he's hitting on Demi Moore and he does the whole like, oops, spilled coffee, guess I gotta take my shirt off. Like, does that work? I've never done that. I've never in my life been like,
did your ex
pop this shirt off? No. No, she didn't either.
Maybe like, you should have. Maybe you should have tried that.
But like, to me, that's like such a weird like way to do that.
Like, knowing what I knew about the movie going into it, even after not seeing it for 20 years, like from the very first scene, just the way they block it with the two of them on one side and the way he's positioned on the other, you can just get weird vibes from him the whole way through. If you look for it, it's very creepy. Like it's very cool. He gives you the ick.
He did that to me the second he was like, let's come for a walk. Come on, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, I can understand being like an assertive friend for like someone that like just lost their partner. Yeah. But I'm like, you're being too pushy. Now I know why. But then also, especially in that scene, I'm like, I'm out on this character. I don't want this. I hate all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you recognize that actor at all?
No.
From anything?
No.
He was the president on Scandal. He's been... Okay. His name's Tony Goodwin. Uh-huh. Goldwyn. He's Hollywood royalty. He's the grandson of Samuel Goldwyn, who like owned... MGM, like the G at MGM.
Oh, he's the G in MGM. Oh, no way.
He was in Oppenheimer.
Oh. Oh, wow.
He was in King Richard. But we don't talk about King Richard without getting slapped. So. Devin, I'm curious. What do you know Demi Moore from?
Goodness, Alan. Off the top of my head, it's going to be... Was she in Charlie's Angels?
Two, yes.
Yes. I know her. Full Throttle. I bet you that's all I know her from. Wow. She had a whole acting career. Nope. Hunchback of Notre Dame, too.
The second one, not the first one, because she's in that one, too. Yeah,
they got her to voice Esmeralda in only the second one.
No, she's Esmeralda in the first one, isn't she?
Oh, she the first one? Oh, I guess so. Okay. I am aware that she is G.I. Jane, but I've never seen G.I. Jane.
Okay.
And I know that she's in Beavis and Butthead Do America. I just truly, truly could not place her at this moment. That's all I know her from.
Okay.
Are you sure that's all the movies you know her from?
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. She was in that.
You're... you are not bringing up her 1996 smash hit.
Very Good Girls.
Say it. Ryan. Say it, Ryan.
Striptease.
I've never seen that.
We will most likely never do it, so don't worry about it.
Is it not good? Is that why we're not going to do it?
It's got a 4.5 on IMDb, and it has a 37 Metacritic score.
Oh. You know what? I think that was one of those movies that, like, in high school, MTV would, like, play on repeat. And I would, like, see it be on MTV, like, this is going to be really fun for me to watch. Oh. And I, like, turn on and I go, oh, this is nothing.
Did you guys freeze?
Hmm?
No, I'm here.
You're good.
All right. You both froze there for a second.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I think the little bits of it I watched on MTV were not exciting. So I think I'm glad we're not doing it.
Well, I mean it's about her as a single mom doing a job that gets her a decent amount of money. And she gets a congressman takes a liking to her and thriller stuff ensues.
I actually kind of like that plot. Really, a lot.
No.
Oh, you had me there, actually.
No. That is the plot. But believe me, no. Yeah.
So, Devin, where do you rank this among Patrick Swayze romance movies? Given this what you've seen.
Number one? I will come back to this movie before Dirty Dancing almost every time. I like both of the characters a lot. I don't think I liked the lady that was in Dirty Dancing very much. Like, I don't think I liked that character. I like the journey she went on a lot, but I don't think I liked her character.
So are you saying you would put Baby in a corner?
100% I would.
Sick monster.
I know. I'm the worst. Yeah. I am nobody.
I can just hear Patrick Swayze yelling at you right now. Nobody puts Baby in a corner.
I love it. Was there anything that didn't work for you guys? Were there like any parts that were like me, where you were like, this is so weird?
Not really. Like it was more just remembering the act, like understanding the actual plot of the movie. Like, oh, he died because of money. Like, yeah, that sounds about right for a Wall Street type. Like I forgot that whole, like I knew the friend was behind it. I didn't understand it the last time I watched it, but now it makes sense. Like he was embezzling money and his friend was about to find out. Mm-hmm. And so like, it makes sense. Like the murder plot makes sense in this then. For being all over the place genre-wise, it's a solid film.
I mean, for me, it's one of the reasons I'm really happy I do this podcast, because I never in my life would have, like, chosen to watch this movie. I will now choose to watch this movie at least one more time. Like, if someone asks me, like, can we put on, like, a weird genre-less movie, I'll be like, yeah, let's put on Ghost. Or, like, if anybody wants to watch it, like, I will put Ghost on. Like, I enjoyed every bit of this. I really did. And I'm really glad that we watched it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Ryan, do you have any weird facts about the movie?
I mean, I've been stating them as we've been going. The last one I have is that the actor who plays the friend, like the villain, he was at a restaurant years later. And the waitress that he had was just treating him like crap, like giving him death stares and like not being polite. And I guess she came back to the table like halfway through his meal and asked him if he was an actor. And he said, yes. And she like did the, you know, waiter waitress thing where she knelt down to the table and she apologized for how she was acting, because she, when she saw him, she knew that she hated him, but she couldn't remember where she remembered him from. So the entire time she thought that he was some like scumbag ex that she had. Until someone told her that he was an actor, and then it clicked. Yeah. He said that in an interview, that happened to him once.
Does that ever happen to you guys when watching movies? Like, especially this one, right? So I've seen Patrick Swayze in, like, in Dirty Dancing, sure. But I've also seen him in Red Dawn. And that's kind of my first introduction to him, is, like, as an action star. And, like, watching him have a soft side took a little while for me. And watching him be, like, just this, like, big old cuddly teddy bear, like, in this movie, like, took a while. Did you guys have that with him, too? Or was this, like,
no.
Yeah, of course he's this.
No, because I've had the opposite. Because
oh, really?
Because, yeah, because, I mean, like, my mom loved Dirty Dancing and Ghost growing up. Mm. So, like, I can't tell you how many times I saw Dirty Dancing or was more or less forced to watch that movie as a kid. And then, you know, watching Ghost a few times. And then I didn't see the original Red Dawn until, like, we did it.
Wow.
So to me, like, Patrick Swayze was always kind of like, you know, the wasn't really an action person. He was more or less more like on, like, you know, kind of like a, you know, the big screen version of Fabio.
Yeah. No, I yeah. definitely agree with that, because I feel like I got him and Fabio confused as kids, as a kid.
I also didn't know Fabio was a real person until, like, recently. I thought he was just, like how people call people Chad now. Like, yeah. That's what I thought Fabio was.
Okay, so you do know that he killed a goose with his face once, right?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was at
you didn't hear about that? It was all over TMZ. Yeah,
he was at an opening for an amusement park, and he was riding a roller coaster for the first time. And they hit a goose and it hit him right in the face and broke his nose.
So he comes rolling back into the station with, like, blood and feathers, like, you know, on him, and, like, around him are a bunch of, like, European, like, supermodels, and they all look extremely concerned. It was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. I know that he was in pain, and I'm sorry that an animal died during that thing, but still, it was just a really funny image. It's just
that seems like such a risky thing for Fabio to do. I feel like 90% of that man's sex appeal was his face. Yeah. And, like, why risk it? Why do that to yourself?
Do you know what happened to him after that?
No.
Nothing, because his face was hit by a goose.
Oh, no. Yeah. If I was him, I would wear a motorcycle helmet at all times. I would do
No, because you don't want to do that, because you're going to push in the skin and it's going to, you know, like,
no,
mess with the blood vessels.
What he's got to do is wear, like, a Mr. Freeze type dome over his face, kind of like the hand model in Zoolander.
Oh, from Zoolander.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
So real quick, before we wrap this up, I wanted to talk about Whoopi Goldberg's Oscar win for this.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at the nominees for this. There's a few that I recognize, like performances that I know. She was up against Annette Bening in the Grifters, Lorraine Bracco in Goodfellas, Diane Ladd in Wild at Heart, and Mary McDonald in Dances with Wolves.
That was a really good part.
Yeah.
You've seen Dances with Wolves?
Have you not?
No, I have. I'm just very surprised at that.
I have too. They made a sequel last year. It was called Avatar 2.
Yeah.
It was a school thing. They made us watch it.
Yeah. I feel like Lorraine Bracco is a very close second for supporting actress.
Yeah.
For Goodfellas. Yeah. But this is Whoopi's one and only Oscar. So, Whoopi does have an EGOT because of this movie.
Good for her.
Yeah.
She deserves it. I really do.
Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about with Ghost before we wrap this up?
I mean, I think we pretty much covered the basics of it.
Okay.
It surprised me the whole time.
I knew it would.
Yeah, it was great. I loved watching this. I'm glad we did. I'm really glad we did.
Me too. So that does it for our conversation on Ghost. Devin, next week is your pick. What are you going to have us watch?
So I'm continuing my traipse through the Oscar nominations. We are going to be watching 2023's The Holdovers, directed by Alexander Payne, starring Paul Giamatti. I'm so excited to hear what you guys think.
I cannot wait to watch this movie and then go to In-N-Out afterwards and become a viral sensation on the internet.
Is that a thing?
He won the Golden Globe and then took it to In-N-Out and like went viral.
I'm going to love this movie.
But what's fun?
Knowing that he did that, I love it.
But what's funny is like Weird Al did that like the night before with his Emmy and got nothing for it.
That makes me upset now.
But Weird Al did post it himself. I think somebody else took a picture of Paul Giamatti, so that gives it a little bit more cred.
Yeah.
Like you expect that from Weird Al. You don't expect that from the guy from Big Fat Liar. So yeah, that does it for this week's You Have to Watch This podcast. Join us next week where we'll be back on our normal day and time, Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube Live. If you haven't yet, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also listen to You Have to Watch This podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other places. You can also check out all the other Rum Runners Network podcasts at Rum Runners Network podcast network.com. Check out our show and all the other great Rum Runners podcasts there. Until next time, for You Have to Watch This podcast, I'm Alan.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Devin.
And I'm Henry the Eighth. I am Henry the Eighth. I am. We'll see you next time.
I didn't expect that. She expected that.